The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 43, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on April 7th, 2008, in Golokadam, Germany.
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text Number 43.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tushtam nashamya pitaram lokanam prapithamaham devarshi paripa prachcha bhavanyan manu prachyati.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Narada also inquired in detail from his father, Brahma, the great-grandfather of all the universe, after seeing him well satisfied. Purport. The process of understanding spiritual or transcendental knowledge from the realized person is not exactly like asking an ordinary question from the schoolmaster. The schoolmasters in the modern days are paid agents for giving some information. But the spiritual master is not a paid agent. Nor can he impart instruction without being authorized. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, the process of understanding transcendental knowledge is directed as follows. Tadvidi pratipatena padiprashnena sevaya. Upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Arjuna was advised to receive transcendental knowledge from the realized person by surrender, questions, and service. Receiving transcendental knowledge is not like exchanging dollars. Such knowledge has to be received by service to the spiritual master. As Brahmaji received the knowledge directly from the Lord by satisfying him fully, similarly one has to receive the transcendental knowledge from the spiritual master by satisfying him. The spiritual master's satisfaction is the means of assimilating transcendental knowledge. One cannot understand transcendental knowledge simply by becoming a grammarian. The Vedas declare, Svetashvatara Upanishad 6:23,
Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tasyaite katitya hyarta prakashyante mahatmanah.
Only one who has unflinching faith, unflinching devotion to the Lord and to the spiritual master, only unto him does transcendental knowledge become automatically revealed. Such relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is eternal. One who is now the disciple is the next spiritual master. And one cannot be a bona fide and authorized spiritual master unless one has been strictly obedient to his spiritual master. Brahmaji, as a disciple of the Supreme Lord, received the real knowledge and imparted it to his dear disciple Narada, and similarly, Narada as spiritual master handed over this knowledge to Vyasa, and so on. Therefore, the so-called formal spiritual master and disciple are not facsimiles of Brahma and Narada or Narada and Vyasa. The relationship between Brahma and Narada is reality, while the so-called formality is the relation between the cheater and the cheated. It is clearly mentioned here that Narada is not only well behaved, meek and obedient, but also self-controlled. One who is not controlled specifically in sex life can neither become a disciple nor a spiritual master. One must have disciplinary training in controlling anger, the tongue, the mind, the belly, and the genitals. One who has controlled the particular senses mentioned above is called a Goswami. Without becoming a Goswami, one can become neither a disciple nor a spiritual master. The so-called spiritual master without sense control is certainly the cheater, and the disciple of such a so-called spiritual master is the cheated. One should not think of Brahmaji as a dead great-grandfather, as we have experience on this planet. He is the oldest great-grandfather and is still living, and Narada is also living. The age of the inhabitants of the Brahmaloka planet is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. The inhabitants of this small planet Earth can hardly calculate even the duration of one day of Brahma.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sudaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
So, here we are learning about the system of disciplic succession. As Prabhupada explains, one who is now the disciple, he is the next spiritual master. So, this is proof that Prabhupada entrusted the duty of being a spiritual master to his disciples. Some people say that only Prabhupada is the spiritual master. They are called Litvic philosophers. But here there is direct proof from Prabhupada himself, right here in his purport, that one who is now the disciple is the next spiritual master. So this is how the disciplic succession has gone on for thousands and thousands of years. There is guru, he has disciples, and those disciples who are strictly obedient to the spiritual master, they become spiritual masters in the future. And they make disciples, and it goes down and down and down through the ages in this way. Prabhupada is pointing out, as I was explaining yesterday also, that the means of assimilating transcendental knowledge is to please the spiritual master. It's not merely some academic information that you can cram into your brain and become realized. No. You have to please your spiritual master. And when you please your spiritual master, then the whole Vedic wisdom becomes automatically revealed to you, become realized in this knowledge. So we have to have a spiritual master, and we have to please the spiritual master. Prabhupada emphasizes actually the importance of having a spiritual master. He says, and there's two positions, there's anatta and sanatta. Natta means controller or master. Yeah. So, just like Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, controller of the universe, master of the universe, Jagannath. So there's Tanat and Anat. So, Prabhupada compares, in India, there are different types of dogs. You've seen in India, you've walked on Juhu Beach, you saw the dogs there with the masters. They're very jolly, stout and strong dogs. It's like in Western countries, the dogs on Juhu Beach. But the street dog in Vrindavan, you've seen them. They are a horrible sight. They're a pitiable sight. You see? They have wounds all over their body from fights with other dogs. They have skin disease. Their hair has fallen off. They can't eat. They don't get sufficient food. They're skinny. They're almost dead. It's horrible to see those street dogs. So the street dog, you see, he's a dog without a master. And the dogs with the master, they're stout and strong and jolly, you see. So Prabhupada gives us a simile, and how one must have guru, you see. Guru is required. Because when you have guru, then you become empowered, you become fixed up solidly in Krishna consciousness. But without guru, you see, then we're in a difficult position. Because the means of assimilating this knowledge is to satisfy Guru. This is why Rupa Goswami, he has stated, Adau Garashrayam, the very first step is to have a spiritual master. So this pleasing of the spiritual master is very nice. When we see that our spiritual master is happy, then we become so happy. And we could see Prabhupada's smiling glance, you see. And it just became the most wonderful, sweet thing. We could please Srila Prabhupada. When he was pleased with us, it was just the most wonderful thing. And if he's displeased, oh, it's the most devastating thing. Oh, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, the spiritual master is displeased. Prabhupada is displeased. Then it's horrible. No matter what you do, you can't feel good. If the spiritual master is not pleased, it's like a horrible thing. But actually, it's not difficult to please the spiritual master. When I came to this movement, I was thinking, well, they say that the way to advance is to please the spiritual master. I don't know how I'll please him. You see, I was wondering, how will I please the spiritual man? Oh, you know, we sing every morning in the Gravastakam prayers that by taking prasadam, one pleases the spiritual master. So I was thinking, I think I can handle that. I think I can take prasadam. So actually, to please the spiritual master is not difficult. You take prasadam. You honor the prasadam of the Lord. And then the spiritual master is pleased. Oh, the disciples, they're taking prasadam. So it's actually not difficult to please the spiritual master. You simply have to think, I want to please my guru, that's all. I want to please him. And somebody asked me the other day in the email, they said that, are you in contact with Prabhupada? Now that he's no longer physically present here, are you in contact with him? They wanted to know. I had that contact with him. Actually, Prabhupada explains that the spiritual master is present in his instructions. You see. There are two types of presences of the guru. He is present physically. It's like when the spiritual master is sitting before you. You see, then you're in the presence of the spiritual master. And the other form, that is called Vapu. And the other form is called Vani. That is his instructions. Now Vapu will sometimes be there, and sometimes Vapu will not be there. Guru will sometimes be sitting in front of us giving Bhagavatam. And sometimes he will be somewhere else. We will not have him sitting in front of us giving Bhagavatam. So the other form of guru, that is called Bani. That is his instructions. Now of the two, Prabhupada explains, Vani is more important. Because the spiritual master is fully present in his instructions. So if you can take the instructions you receive from the spiritual master, you can take them deep within your heart and embrace them as your very life and soul. These instructions I have received from Guru Maharaj, from Gurudev, these instructions are my very life and soul. I hold on to them for dear life. You see? Then, by that holding on to the instructions you receive from your spiritual master, then you're always in his presence. You always feel how he is present with you, how he is guiding you, how he is blessing you, how he is inspiring you, how he is protecting you. All of these things are felt by the disciple. So if they ask me, are you in contact with Prabhupada? I'm, oh, yes, of course. I'm feeling he's very much present with me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people say, well, tell us about some of your pastimes with Prabhupada, you know, when you were with Prabhupada. And I just tell them, well, I'm with him right now. I'm with Prabhupada right now. So in this way, we have to understand the how to connect with the spiritual master. One might say, oh, why can't I just directly connect with Krishna? Actually, you can directly connect with Krishna through the medium of the spiritual master. This is our system. Lord Chaitanya showed this by his own words. He said that I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. This is how we connect. Krishna likes to see that we are devotees of the devotees. You see, there's nobody more dear to Krishna than his devotees. So if we disregard Krishna's devotees and we think, no, I just want to be related with Krishna directly, and Krishna is not very happy with it. You understand? But when we are devotees of the devotees of Krishna, then Krishna is very, very pleased. Oh, they're devotees of my devotees. Prabhupada always quoted one English saying, if you love me, love my dog. He says, his spiritual master, he is Krishna's dog. And if you love the dog, you see, then the master becomes very pleased. Just imagine some big, big, wealthy, powerful man, you see. He's there visiting your city. How can you have an audience with him? He's too big, they'll never let you in, you see. But if he's out in the morning and he's walking his dog, you see, he's out in the park walking his dog in the morning. And his dog, somehow you come in contact with his dog and you pat his dog on the head and the dog likes you very much. And then the master sees, oh, my dog likes this person. So then the spiritual master, you see, then you have your connection. Because the dog likes you. Then the owner of the dog will take interest. Oh, this person likes my dog and my dog likes him. So that's very good. I can make friends with this person. So in this way, the spiritual master is very approachable. You see, he's on this plane. Krishna is far away. He's far away in Goloka Vrindavan, sporting with the cowherd boys on Govardhan, you see. He's far, far away. But here, right now, on this plane, the spiritual master is present. So by associating with the spiritual master, pleasing the spiritual master, then you get that direct connection with Krishna. So someone may say, well, that sounds contradictory. You're saying it's a direct connection, but you're just saying it's through the medium of the spiritual master. How is that direct? I'll give you an example. Let's say I call you on the phone, I call you on my telephone. You see. Now, am I directly talking to you or not? It's direct, isn't it? You and I are having a direct conversation all the way from Austin here to Goloka Dham. I'm talking to you on the telephone, you see. But at the same time, actually, I'm not talking to you directly. It's through the medium of the telephone, right? So there it is. You see, it's I'm having a direct conversation with you, but yet it's through the medium of the telephone. Now, if the telephone wasn't there, we couldn't have this conversation. So in this way, you see, spiritual master is like the telephone. You can have that direct conversation with Krishna, but only through the medium of the spiritual master. If you take the spiritual master out of the equation, you have no way of having that direct connection with Krishna. So this is the great significance of Guru. He is the connecting agent that brings you into direct contact with the Supreme Person. And he's also there to help you, because a neophyte devotee doesn't really fully understand in full detail the science of bhakti. It's not an easy thing to master. Just you read one verse and you become self-realized. It takes years of practice to really become expert in all the subtle aspects of Krishna consciousness. To have a spiritual master who can guide you and correct you, tell you this is wrong, this is right. You see, this is a very important thing. We need a guru, a person we can fully surrender ourselves to, who can tell us what's wrong and what's right, and train us how to become properly fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Even if the spiritual master is not always physically present, he's available through the mail. It's like nowadays we have email. In the old days it was just snail mail, we call it now. That's how we disciples, we would stay connected with the Prophet. We'd write a letter, we'd put a stamp, put an envelope, put a stamp on it, and take it down to the post office, and then many weeks later we get a letter back. We'd say His Grace. Prabhupada used to put the title on the letter. It was so nice. He'd put His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. I was a Brahmachari then. But he would put a title on it. He was showing the Vaishnava culture. Even when he would write a letter to his disciples, it would be His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. He's so first class, so high class in the way that Prabhupada dealt with us, even though we were low class people. He taught us how to become very high-class people. So we would, in those days, we would stay in touch. And then, of course, we had our local authority too, our temple president. He would stay in touch also with Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada would directly communicate, he would directly instruct his disciples as they needed his direct help. And also we would work under the direction of our local authority. And this way we also felt we were connected with Srila Prabhupada. So, in the same way, disciples, they can always feel connected with their spiritual master through direct communication with him, by telephone, by personal meetings, by email, or by snail mail. Or they can also feel connected by working cooperatively in their local project, because the spiritual master wants the disciples to work in their local area. Their namahat or their temple, whatever the ISKCON program is in their area, by serving that program, you see, that is also a direct service to the spiritual master. Because he wants them to work in their local area to make their Shishirada Maham Kija. He wants them to work in their local area. Just like here, you're here now. Susan, you are here now in Goloka Dham. So you are very pleasing to the spiritual master when you work hard to make this project success. You see, by your sincere endeavor here to make this, to keep this temple going on nicely, then you are giving great happiness to the spiritual master. And you all are going back to Belgium and Amsterdam by working in your local area to cooperate with your local devotees who are preaching there in a nice way, that the preaching programs are going on nicely in your area. Then this is pleasing to the spiritual master. So in this way, you can please your spiritual master 24 hours a day. Even if he's not physically there, by doing that which pleases him. To keep the temple going on nicely, to keep the namahats going on nicely. And your own personal sadhana also, nice chanting of your japa, following the principles, rising early, taking bath, you see. By doing these things, and the spiritual master is very pleased, and when he is pleased, what does he do? He showers his mercy upon you. He doesn't have to be physically present to shower his mercy upon you. You can feel his mercy showering upon you if you simply act in such a way that he is pleased. So in this way, one can easily become realized in transcendental knowledge, you see, because this pleasing of the spiritual master gives you all understanding. And the more you understand the science, the easier it is to practice. So it's a very, very wonderful thing. Just go on pleasing your guru day in and day out, and it won't become old, it won't become dry. Some people say, as I was mentioning yesterday in our Sunday feast lecture, some people say, well, I tried it for a while, you know, and it got old after a while. But you know what? They didn't really try it properly. They weren't really practicing it according to the standard instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. They had their own, they were doing their own not so careful way of doing it. You see. Carelessly they were doing devotional service. Anyone who carefully follows the process according to the spiritual master's instructions, they will find great happiness and satisfaction day in and day out. And that happiness will just go on increasing, 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 increasing. So my request to you all is that you kindly, you know, become very, very serious to make your life perfect. You've achieved this human life, this very rare human life, after millions of lifetimes. Now utilize this life very seriously for the pleasure of Sri Guru and Krishna and make your life a success. You'll be happy. You can make the whole world happy if you simply stick to this process very nicely. So now I can ask if there's any questions. I'll just go take prasadam. I won't do any service. I won't give any donation. I come here to please the spiritual master by taking prasadam. I'm not going to help serve out. I'm not going to help clean up. I'm just going to come here and eat, and I'm going to please the spiritual master. I'm giving great pleasure to the spiritual master by eating prasadam. Well, for the beginner, yes, but then there's the next step. You see, you want to please the spiritual master more also. Just like in the early days, Prabhupada was very, in those days they called him Swamiji, but he was very pleased that all the hippie boys and girls came and they took prasadam. He was very happy to see. But the only trouble was they would all go home after prasadam, and Prabhupada would be left all alone and clean all the dishes by himself, you see. He would collect the money. He would do the shopping. He would cut the vegetables. He would stir. He did all the cooking. He served it out. He cleaned up everything Prabhupada had to do. Because these hippie boys and girls didn't understand. But then after one feast, one of the young hippies said, "Well, I wonder who helps Swamiji clean up the dishes after these programs." And so they stayed around. They saw there was nobody. So they volunteered to help Prabhupada wash the dishes. And you can imagine how much mercy that person got. One of them. The first time, I remember reading, it was one of them in the beginning, got the realization that I should help Swamiji clean the dishes. You see, and then gradually, the idea came, that everyone got the idea, you should serve the spiritual master, not just take from him, you see, but you should give to him. And gradually that idea caught on, and a whole movement came out of it, you see. If it hadn't been, there would be no Hare Krishna movement, except the devotees got the idea, you have to serve the spiritual master. They realize it. It's not something you can just order someone, okay, now serve this. No. They felt obliged to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is doing so much for us. Now we have to reciprocate the love that he is giving us by giving our love in return. You see, that is love. It's not just force. You see, if you're forced to do something, I'll get in there and wash the dishes. All right, do it halfway and get out. You see. Leave them halfway dirty. You see. But when you actually feel, just see how much love I'm getting from this person. Now let me give some love in return the best I can by doing some nice service. You see. So this is how the movement took off, you see. It spread all over the world. Devotees are reciprocating with that love they felt coming from Prabhupada. So that love is no longer coming from Prabhupada. No, that love is still coming. It's coming directly from him and it's coming to his disciples. And those who are strictly following, grand disciples also. See, they are manifestations of Prabhupada's love. So if we can feel that love that Prabhupada has for us by this wonderful movement he has created, by his mercy, then we should give our lives to this movement. You see, not just take prasadam. That's nice for step one. Step number two is help wash the dishes. Just like last night, a girl, Stephanie, came. She came to say she'd like to become my disciple, which was very nice. But she also said, now I have to go and clean the temple room. That's my service. I do it every Sunday. So this is the way, you see. Not just, I become a disciple and I sit in his sitting with the spiritual master and enjoy his presence, you see. But no. Now I've gotten some mercy from the Guru, now let me go do some service, you see. So in this way, it was very wonderful. She had to excuse herself to go clean the temple room. In this way, this is how we become very strongly connected with the spiritual master. Not that we just take vishana, but no, we do some service also. And that's how we become, the vishana is a nice beginning, but then we have to go beyond that. And we become solidly connected by doing service to the spiritual master. How we can serve him and how we can serve his mission. And then we become, that's how we become fixed up in Krishna consciousness so solidly that we'll never go away and we'll never leave. You see? By taking that service move. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Brahman, he is motivated by philosophy. He understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the brahmanically minded person, you see. They understand the philosophy and they do the needful. All right, this is the philosophy, now I do. That's the ideal position. The Kshatriya type person, they require a position. Well, if you give me a post, give me some title, and then I can have some position of respect, then I can serve, I can do service. That's position. And for the Vaishya, you have to give him some money. And then he will do service. And for the Sudra, you have to give the stick. Do this or else. So we are meant to come to the Brahmanical stage. But by understanding that this requires to be done, we do it because there's necessity. It requires to be done. We understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that we have left the spiritual world due to revolting against the supremacy of the Supreme Person. And now we have to purify our consciousness of this rebellious nature by engaging once again in the Lord's service to revive our original dormant Krishna consciousness. So for such a person, they take service as a great blessing, that now I have an opportunity to purify my consciousness. This service will save me from my repetition of birth and death. You see? Such a person becomes very happy. Oh, devotional service. How wonderful thing. How blessed I am. How fortunate I am. Here's an opportunity to liberate myself from all the anartas of material existence. So does that answer your question? So what's the question? Your points are very nice. Mm-hmm. No, once you come to the minical stage of understanding the great blessing and great good fortune that one has by having, the opportunity to devotional service. One should not ask anything in return. Then it's not devotional service, it's business. The minical stage is a very important stage because there you're not trying to get anything in return. You're doing it just out of understanding and higher position out of love. Even if we don't feel the love in the beginning, if we just do it out of understanding, then gradually the love will come. So either out of understanding of the necessity of doing this for my ultimate deliverance from birth and death, or just out of or even higher level, just wanting to please Krishna and Guru. Either way, somehow or other, engage in devotional service. One should do whatever is necessary. One should not say, well, I only do this kind of service, I don't do that kind of service. That's not surrender. One should be prepared to do whatever kind of service one is requested by one's authority. Whatever the needful is, one should be prepared to do that service. That's called surrender. There's no, well, I'll agree to be a devotee if I can do this kind of service. You see, that's not... That's conditional. That's not unconditional. Unconditional means whatever I'm requested to do, I will take that up with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Any questions, you all? Question? That, Devi? Yes, generally it's throughout history it has generally not happened. Women have a woman's body carries with it a certain psychology and a certain nature. So generally women are not inclined actually to be guru, but there are cases where women have taken that position and were great, big leaders of the Vaishnava community. There are such examples, like Janava Mata, for example, was a very big acharya. She had many male disciples even. So there are, generally, historically, it's not generally the case. But it certainly is there in our history. And certainly any woman who feels, who has the nature and the characteristics of a spiritual master will be recognized, will be recognized as such by the Vaishnava community. We don't discriminate, well, you're a woman, you know. No. We see everyone as a spiritual, and whatever qualities of whatever spiritual power they can manifest, that is seen, that is recognized, you see. If you become a great leader here, a great spiritual leader who can pull this community together by your Shakti, then we will all worship you as a spiritual master, you see. That you have saved this community, you see. You can you become a powerful preacher here. Yeah? Yeah, the spiritual master doesn't want them, but that comes. A spiritually advanced person spiritually advanced means they have no interest in recognition, doesn't it? But those persons are the most recognized persons, you see. Those persons who actually, without any desire for recognition, who sacrifice everything for the pleasure of their spiritual master, they become the most recognized people in history. Look at Lord Jesus, for example. You see how much he's recognized. He was willing to be crucified for the sake of helping the people, you see. He could have given up his preaching mission. Say, okay, I stop. I'll just be a carpenter and be a peaceful carpenter again. If my preaching is agitating you all, and you want to kill me for preaching, I'll just be a carpenter. It's okay. I don't want to get killed. I mean, you know, everybody's got to save their skin, right? He could have said that. But he said, no, I'm sticking to my mission. I said, okay, we're nailing to a cross. He wasn't doing it for recognition, but he felt a burning need in his heart to help the people become free from their misery of material existence. So, this is the mood. It's the one of intense desire to serve and to help others. You see. If that desire is there in the heart, then one naturally becomes recognized, even though that it's the last thing in the world they're thinking about. They naturally become recognized. Simply one has to, of course the qualification is one has to be a disciple. We have our Prabhupada Sampradaya, you have to choose one of the spiritual masters in Prabhupada's line and take your diksha from him, you see. And by that diksha, then you become, that diksha will greatly empower you in your service and in your preaching. So that's what one needs to do. So you need to find one of the disciples of Prabhupada that gives, where you feel the most inspiration. And become, and say, I would like to become your disciple. Now please guide me what I can do now to become your disciple. And that will greatly empower you. In your service. Any other questions?
Sometimes when you preach, it's so difficult. When you tell the people about the four principles, you say, oh, I can't do that. No. That's not for me. No, we know that it's so.
You have to be an expert salesman. That's all. You have to be an expert salesman. Is it? They say that an expert salesman can sell ice to an Eskimo. You have to be very expert. In other words, you have to understand, actually, okay, right now they're addicted to illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. Why? Let's look at sex. That's the most attractive thing generally for people. Why are they so addicted to sex pleasure? Now they're running after all kinds of sex. Homosex, heterosex, this sex, that sex. Everything sex, sex, sex nowadays. You see. Why are they running after sex? Because it gives them intense pleasure, right? Or at least it's so-called, you know, an illusion of intense pleasure. It's not really. We understand it's actually pain compared to real pleasure. It gives them the sensation that they are enjoying. So what they really want is to be the enjoyer. You have to understand what is the driving force within them that inspires them for these activities. They want to be the enjoyer. So all you have to do to sell them this bill of goods, no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication and gambling, is to show them and convince them that you want to enjoy. You enjoy having sex? Great. Now I'll show you how to get even more pleasure. Are you interested? Sure. Say, yeah, I love sex. It's great. I have it every chance I can get. I can do it. All right. That's great. Now I'll show you how to get even more pleasure than you have in sex. Are you interested? Oh, yeah. Better than sex? Sure. Tell me about it. You see? So you have to give them a higher taste. Vishayavanivartante nirahara rasavarjang rasopyasha parang vishvanavartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense object remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. You simply have to show them there's something better. So you're not really giving up anything. Just like if I hand you a 10 euro note, you'll be a little happy. You see? Let's say I give it, no, let me make it better. Let's say I give you 10,000 euros, you see? That would make your day. All right, great. I can go back to India now for another pilgrimage to Vrindavan. Enough for 2 round trip tickets to India, you see? 10,000 and live comfortably in, you know, the MVT or whatever. 10,000 euros, great. I say, come, but I was only joking, I'll give it back. Oh. Of course, you wouldn't show that, but in your heart, your feelings and disappointment, I really thought I was getting 10,000 euros. But if I say, okay, I'm going to give you 10 million euros if you give me the 10,000. Is there any difficulty to give the 10,000 euros back to get 10 million euros? No, not at all. So, when you ask them to give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling, you're asking them to give up the 10,000 euros. Now, if you're not giving something better in return, then who wants to give up their 10,000 euros? No way, you see. But if you're giving them 10 million euros, you understand? If you're giving them 10 million euros to take place of that 10,000 euros, yeah, immediately. If you can convince them by giving up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling, they're going to get 10,000 times more pleasure from their every moment of existence. They will do it. Because their driving force is they want to enjoy. So you have to be convinced yourself. You have to be tasting it yourself. You see, the first person you have to sell it to is you. Dasarath Das. You see? You have to be tasting that this pleasure of Krishna Ganga is greater than any pleasure of illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling. Any pleasure of this material world is nothing compared to this taste of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You have to be convinced. And if you're convinced, you can convince them. If you're having a hard time convincing them, you know what I mean? It means you're not completely convinced yet. You still doubt them. That's what it means. You have your doubts. Well, I think Krishna Ganga is the best thing, but, well, yeah, I think it is, but you have to be absolutely, solidly convinced that Krishna's name, one pure utterance of Hare Krishna, is more pleasurable than all the pleasures of this material world that have ever been tasted through the history of the whole universe, multiplied to the 10 billionth power. There's that much nectar in the name. You have to be convinced that this name is the one pure utterance of Hare Krishna is overflowing, is oozing with so much nectar that it can fill up the entire universe with nectar and then burst through the coverings of the universe. This is the ultimate gulab jamun. You see, we all like the gulab jamun. You like the gulab jamun? You like gulab jamun? You like gulab jamun? You like gulab jamun? You know the gulab jamun? You don't know? Do you know what a gulab jamun is? You don't know gulab jamun? Oh my goodness. We have to somehow get these devotees gulab jamun. You know what is gulab jamun? Huh? It's a golden ball that's... You don't know what a gulab jamun is. Huh? You know what it is? Yeah. So, the gulab jamun, when you bite into it, it squirts out the juice. The juice comes... It's very wonderful, you see. So, this Hare Krishna mantra, it is the ultimate gulab jamun. And when you bite into it, so much juice squirts out that it fills up the whole universe, and then it's so much it breaks through the coverings of the universe. You see, that is Hare Krishna consciousness. So if you are convinced like this, then you can convince them. You have to give them something better first. Hare Krishna. You have to offer them something better. In the beginning, Prabhupada simply gave them the visharam and kirtan. And then they wanted to go higher, he gave them the regulated principles. You have to give them the positive sense, the higher taste. And then giving up those things, they're happy. They're saying, I'm getting so much nectar from this Krishna consciousness. Now please tell me, how can I get more nectar? How can I get more nectar? More? Okay, well, you want to get more nectar, then you can follow these principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Now that wasn't difficult, because you already sold them on Krishna, the concept of Krishna consciousness. That's what you have to do. Don't introduce the rules and regulations first. Give them the higher taste first. Let them have that higher taste. And then they want to know how to, this is the sweetest thing I've ever tasted. Now how can I get even a sweeter taste of it? And then you can introduce the regulated principles. Regulated principles come later. The first thing is give them Krishna consciousness. You see? Lord Chaitanya's mercy, this is a movement of singing and dancing and feasting. Who will object to singing and dancing and feasting? A big party going on here, you see. Singing and dancing and feasting. So once you attract them to the party and they want to know, this is so wonderful, how can I get into this more and more and more? Then you give them the principles. Don't use the principles as your the way of introducing them. My dear sir, I've come to your door today to ask you to give up illicit sex. You see. I've asked you to come to throw the meat out of your refrigerator and give up having sex. You have all the children you want? All right, no sex, sir, for you. And you can't smoke any cigarettes, and you got to throw your coffee away, and you know, throw all your wine bottles away. I've come today to clean out your house and to make sure that you come celibate, sir. You think you'll call the police? There's a crazy man at my door. You think? Now, my dear sir, I have come to teach you how to taste a pleasure, which is billions and trillions of times more enjoyable than any pleasure of this material world. This book tells about it. Do you like to be happy, sir? Do you like to enjoy life? Well, I have come to teach you how to expand your enjoyment by billions of times. You see? In this way, you must become expert salesmen. All you have to do, sir, is take this book and please give some contribution to help cover the printing. You see? In this way, you have to become an expert salesperson. Okay? Any other question? Everyone satisfied? Mataji, you're satisfied? Any other points that we should bring out? Okay. You're satisfied? All right. Okay, it's just right at 9 o'clock sharp, so everything is working out perfectly. 9 o'clock sharp and everybody is satisfied. If you all are satisfied, then I'm satisfied. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.